Here's a home run move on the part of our podcast and producer Sam, getting Jim Nill on a day when everybody's talking about the Dallas Stars.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim, welcome back to the podcast, sir. It's Greg and Jeff, and thanks for making time for us today on Johnny Oduya Day.
No, thank you. How's everybody doing? Good summers?
We're doing good. Good. You've been busy. Any plans to, I don't know, take some time off, Jim? I mean, it's been go, go, go for your office.
Yeah, well, no, I think that's just that's the hockey business nowadays. It's the summers are your busy time, but we're slowing down now. I think the rest of the league is also, but we're happy the way things are shaped up so far.
How did the Oduya deal come together?
Well, when you go back to we had our pro meetings back in early June, and that we knew that he was a potential free agent, so we had him ranked in there. He was very high on our list, and when we started to look at, when I started to talk to Chicago about doing the deal with them to get Sharp, it became very evident that Daly was going to have to be part of the deal. And I knew that if I was going to lose Daly, I'm going to have to replace him. And so that's when we kind of swung around the other way and started to do some research on Oduya. I kept in touch with their agents right from the free agent period, and we were able to make the deal work.
Had to be a left-hand shot, D?
No, we're pretty flexible that way. We've got quite a few We have quite a few options, actually. We're finally starting to get our righties in our system, so that's coming around. So when you can get a player with that much experience and pedigree, I'm a big resume guy, and when you can put people in your dressing room that are winners, I think that's very important.
The term usage was used a lot in assessing how Trevor Daly was for you, and a lot of fans and media looked at his time on ice. Thought it was maybe too high for his skill set and feel like he might be used in a different way in Chicago. Oduya, meanwhile, played about 20 minutes a night, played with Yarmolson, clearly second pairing behind whoever Duncan Keith is playing with. Do you kind of see Oduya being cast in the same role with the Stars, or do you see him maybe picking up a bit more ice time than he had in Chicago?
I think he's going to probably stay about the same. You know, what we're excited about, and the reason we had him kind of was one of our top guys is free agent. He plays a real safe, steady game. You know, we've got some high-end skill guys coming. You know the Klingbergs and these guys. It's high-end, Honka we got coming. These guys are explosive, offensive type of players. You need to have the right mix, and we liked what Johnny Oduya brings. He's a steady veteran back there. He's a first-pass guy. He goes back, gets pucks, makes the first play. He's not worried about points, and I think that's going to be a good learning tool for our young guys. You know, a lot of our young guys, the Nemes and these guys, they need to see the way he plays and understand sometimes keeping it simple is more effective. So that's what excites us about Johnny Oduya.
Where's Jamie Oleksiak at in his development? Large man, great wingspan, as we all know. What's the expectation of Oleksiak now?
Well, we're excited about him. He's going to be in our top eight, and he's going to be fighting for for that 5, 6, 7 spot in our lineup. It's going to be good. We know there's going to be injuries. You know, you start out every year saying, okay, I've got these 6 or 7 guys. We started out last year and we lost Gonchar for 2 months out of training camp, and then we lost Patrick Nemeth for the whole year, third game of the season, and that's around the whole league. You just know there's going to be injuries. So he's a big part of our future. He's a big, big man. We think with him and Johns, it gives us, Jamie Oleksiak 6'7", Johns is 6'4". They're both about 225, 230. It gives us two big men that can skate and handle the puck pretty well. So we're excited about the potential of them down the road being with our team.
I know there was some criticism last year about the blue line and going into the season as young as you did, and maybe that short-circuiting things in some way as far as being a playoff team. The top six is so damn good right now. Do you think that the young players can make the leap this year that maybe some of them didn't make last year and make this blue line playoff-worthy?
Yeah, you don't know till they do it. But, history shows these guys. We've got guys that have played, we got the Lindell kid who's played in the World Championships for Finland as one of their top defensemen. History just shows that if you start playing at these levels at 20 years of age, that you are going to continue to develop. Now, they have to do it, and that's what we're banking on, but we think we got some great young guys, between Lindell, Honka, Johns, Backman, and then we got Joki Pack and Nemeth, Oleksiak. We think, out of those 6, 7 guys, 3 or 4 of them end up being pretty high-end players, and that's what you need. Last year at this time, nobody knew who John Klingberg was. John Klingberg was playing over in Sweden. Nobody knew who he was, and all of a sudden he shows up in November after playing a month down in Texas in our farm team, and he becomes he's on the all-rookie team. And so we think we got some good pieces coming. The biggest thing is, and it's the toughest part of this business, is the word patience. And you can't rush it, and they're going to come along at their own speed sometimes.
I was on the conference call before, and I apologize. I think it was a problem with my phone. Did you compare Klingberg a little bit to Erik Karlsson, or was that a different comparison?
Yeah, I didn't. That's what everybody, you know, every time we get on the phone and people keep bringing it up, and that's what Johnny Duja did. Johnny Duja said that he thinks he might be the next Karlsson, and he does have that skill set, and he's got the potential to be that type of player. He came in, like I said, came to our team 1st of November and never looked back, and he really changed our whole back end. And once he settled in by December, that's when our team really started to take off. You know, we dug a hole early, and it was really more of a team mentality that we weren't good enough defensively. And once we understood that, from December 13th on, our team was as good as anybody in the league almost.
You know, I can't help but thinking, too, and this has been referenced already with the signing of Oduya, that he's there to help specifically players like, if not exactly, John Klingberg. Not unlike your previous organization, the Detroit Red Wings, when Lidstrom came over, the first person you put him with was a safe, steady hand of Brad McCrimmon.
Yeah, no, defense is probably the toughest position to play. Other than goaltending, is probably the toughest position to play in the NHL. And, you know, you need that mentoring is important, the patience is important. And anytime you can add somebody that's won Stanley Cups, has been in Olympics, has been in World Championships, they're good players. And there's a reason they're winners. And they don't have to change what they do. They do things right. And I think Johnny Oduya is one of those guys.
Over on the other big transaction, the Patrick Sharp deal, how early were you in on Sharp? Was this a case? Because a lot of us heard an asking price for Sharp that was pretty damn high early in the offseason. Was this a waiting game for you with the Blackhawks to see if maybe it was going to get to a place where you felt more comfortable pulling the trigger?
Yeah, I'd say a little bit of waiting game. We talk all the time. The GMs, we're talking daily with other teams. And I talked to Chicago way, way back after they, you know, won the Stanley Cup and at the draft and that. And, you know, it's a cap world. And in the end, they were going to have to make some moves. And it really came down to being a hockey trade. I think they had some choices, probably other choices, do other things with picks or whatever. But in the end, Stan needed a person to be in his top four. He was going to be losing somebody on his back end. And we had the right fit for him. He had the right fits for us. And in the end, it ended up being a hockey trade that both teams could live with.
And we were just talking before you came on, the automatic beneficiary of that deal, one would assume, would be Jason Spezza, as I don't think you have any designs to split up Sagan and Ben.
Well, we get lots of flexibility. Sharp can play either wing, so we could end up putting him with Sagan and Ben. He can play the left side if you want to put him with Hemsky and Spezza. The bonus in all this for us, and it's something that, you know, a lot of people wouldn't understand, they didn't see our team lots. We lost Val Nichushkin, yep, third game into the season, along with Patrick Nemeth, two of our brighter young spots, young guys. Nichushkin's a 6'4" power forward, and he's going to be back. He's back healthy now. He ended up playing the last three games in the year. It was very good. And him and Spezza really hit it off. They had a special chemistry in that short period of time. So we've got lots of flexibility between Nichushkin and Sharp. I think they can flip-flop back and forth, left side or right side. So we've got lots of flexibility. We'll see where the chemistry builds and go from there. You know, the exciting part with Sharp is we now got somebody, you know, he's got a rocket for a shot. And on the power play, I know he's the guy that used to beat us all the time whenever we played Chicago in the power play. He was shooting bombs. And now with him and Klingberg working together, that gives us a pretty potent top two guys up on the blue line on the power play.
You mentioned Nichushkin a second ago, and I can't help but, you know, going back to the draft a couple of weeks and drawing a line between Nichushkin and the pick that surprised a lot of people, yours truly included, Denis Gurianov. Should we draw a line between these two? You see these two as complementary players to each other somewhere down the road?
Well, they're both, you know, they're kind of almost similar players, except one guy's more of a passer and the other guy's more of a shooter. Gurianov's got a rocket for a shot. He's a big, strong, powerful guy, much like Nichushkin. So we're excited. We think, you know, when we went to the draft, I asked the scouts, you know, when we had our list there, I said, you know, where does this guy fit in? And they said, well, if he's North American, he's probably in the top five. And that was enough for me. I know my scouting staff well, and they know their players. And in the end, he was a guy that our scouts came back after tournament November and said he was one of the best players that they've seen in the draft. And so we kept a close eye on him. And like I say, if it wasn't for probably the Russian factor, yep, probably goes higher. But we're probably sitting in the right spot of the draft. That's kind of where the cutoff line was, and we were happy to get him.
A lot of the Blackhawks fans that reacted to the Sharp trade were just as upset about losing Stephen Johns as they were about seeing Patrick Sharp go. This kid evidently had a lot of support amongst Blackhawks fans. What can you tell us as far as what you like about him and where he fits in?
Well, I've known Stephen for a long time, going back to the under-18 team in Ann Arbor with the U.S. under-18 team and then the World Juniors and all that. I've seen him since he was 18 years of age. I've always liked him, watched him develop in Notre Dame, and then watched him a little bit this season, and then we ended up playing Rockford in the playoffs, and he was by far the best player on the ice. He manhandled us. He was the key reason, scored the winning goal to knock us out in overtime. But just he's a physical specimen. He's 6'3", 6'4", 225 pounds, plays a very robust physical game, kind of a different dimension that we don't have. And, you know, in my conversations with Chicago, if I was going to move one of my defensemen, it was to get a different type of defenseman. So I, for the deal to happen, he had to be part of it. If he wasn't going to be part of it, the trade wasn't going to happen. And, you know, they needed Daly, they needed somebody to replace the players that are using. And so in the end, that was a piece that they had to give up, and I was willing to give up Daly if I was going to get that piece.
Jim, last one for me, and maybe the answer is Chicago Blackhawks because, Stanley Cup champions and all. But is there a team that you look at and you say, we're measuring our squad against how well we play against Team X? And if so, who is that team?
No, you're right. It's Chicago Blackhawks. You know, we talk. They've done a great job. They're the modern day Detroit Red Wings, where I came from. They've done a great job of drafting, great job of developing. They've managed their system well. You know, who they sign, who they don't sign. They've made the right trades at the right time, and I got nothing but respect for Stan Bowman and his staff for the job they've done. It's not easy to win, and it's not easy to stay on top and do it a few years in a row, and they've done that, and we think that we're getting to be, we're not there, but we think we're in pace with where our players are at. You know, the Bens and Sagans remind me of Taze and Kane when they were 22, 23, 24 years of age, and I think that's where we're trying to get there. I don't know if we're there. We're getting close, I think, and that's what we're trying to hit with our team right now.
And last one for me, on the conference call today, you made mention of the fact that you thought a lot of the younger players on this roster are going to be sponges for what a guy like Oduya brings to the table, a guy like Sharp, the fact that Niemi's won a ring. You know, the rings in the room thing has been tried by a lot of teams in this league, and it hasn't always worked out insofar as setting an example, transferring that knowledge to younger players. What's the key? What's the key to bringing in these guys that have been successful elsewhere and having them give the winning virus to your other players, let's say?
Well, I think a big part of it depends where your team's at. You know, you can bring those guys in, and if your team's not good enough skill-wise or depth-wise or whatever, it doesn't matter what. You can only do so much. But I think our team's at the right spot. I think we're ready to take next step. And what's the next step? The next step is winning consistently. You know, it's getting the playoffs consistently, doing those type of things. I think our team's close to that, and I think these guys bring that value to them. And the other part is, these are guys that have done it more than once. These aren't guys, the Sharps and the Duyas aren't guys that just won one cup and they've been in and out type of thing. These guys have won consistently for the last 6, 7, 8 years. Sharps won 3 cups, the Duyas won 2, Niemi's won 1 cup. You know, these guys, you know, I get back to Niemi. He was in San Jose. They've been one of the top teams the last 7, 8 years. They were chasing us in Detroit all those years and chasing Chicago. So these are guys that have won consistently, and there's a reason that happens. And they've been a part of that. I think that just that ends up affecting your dressing room.
Well, thanks for explaining all this. You've made our summer so much fun so far. With all the things you've done.
Well, sit back and relax now, and enjoy your summer a little bit, and it's a pleasure speaking to you guys.
One last thing, though, man, if you have a second, what did you think of 3-on-3 getting passed?
I think it's great. It's going to be interesting. Yeah. I want to see. It's been a great product in the American League. What's going to be interesting to watch is we have the best coaches in the world, and these guys are the best for a reason. They're very smart, and it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. There's always going to be some things. Something's going to happen on 3-on-3. I remember seeing some instances in the American Hockey League, like once a player breaks a stick, like, and you can't get to your bench, well, now it's a 3-on-2 all the time. There's nothing you can do. You're in trouble. So those things are going to happen. But I want to see early in the 3-on-3, you know, our team's going to sit back and just kind of wait for a chance. Are they going to be aggressive? It's going to be interesting to watch how it all takes place. And I know the coaches are all sitting there. They've picked the brains of every American Hockey League coach. They're picking brains of guys in Europe. These guys are good. They're smart. It's going to be interesting to see how teams approach this. That's going to be the most fun.
What does your gut tell you? Two defensemen, one forward, two forwards, one defenseman?
I think you're going to see sometimes three forwards, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see a lot of that. I depend on the team. You know, if you're if you got Duncan, Keith, or Doughty and these guys, they're probably never coming off the ice. Carlson, those type of guys. It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be. But I know one thing, when you get a scoring chance and you happen to miss a net, I can tell you right now it's coming back the other way awful fast, and that usually is a 3-on-2. You know, the other thing I want to watch, and we just tried it at our development camp, is we had a scrimmage, so we tried some different things, and kind of the old European way. I remember playing when I played against Russians in the Olympics and stuff. They would play if it's 5-on-5, they'd hang one guy out by the red line and kind of play a 5-on-4. Is there going to be some team that's going to leave somebody out center ice and let the other guys play kind of the 3-on-2 and wait for a break and spring a guy loose? It's commission to see.
So we'll call that the beer league effect on the NHL.
It's going to be exciting. I think it's great for our sport. The shooters have been effective, but I think this is more a little bit more hockey skill type of thing. And I just know things happen. Watch the American League. You break a stick, somebody misses a net on a rush, or somebody falls down, it changes awful fast. It's coming back at you. So it'd be
100%.
Good.
Jim, thanks for your time.
All right, guys. Yeah, take care.
Thanks for doing it.